prisoner's chains with bleeding stripes. Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to say their chains were loosed and they were free. They sang, I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. Name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you in a maze and in your mind, reach out and praise, defy those chains. In Jesus' name, just sing, I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you in a maze of time so hard, reach out,
faith
to heights unknown.
You find
you not alone. I bless your name,
oh, yes.
I bless your name,
yes, Lord.
I bless your name.
Through the way. Oh yes, Lord Jesus. This morning, oh yes, we bless your name, oh Lord. There is no other name than the name Jesus Christ. No other name that has been given, even in heaven and earth and earth here, than that great name Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We bless you from the deep of our hearts, Lord, this morning. We are thanking you because, Lord, we can look back the week that has just passed. Oh, our going out and coming in our homes, in our working places. Oh, how your hand, Lord, had not failed, Lord. And even directing our footsteps, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we say thank you, we bless you. And today, the beginning of another week, we found ourselves in no other place but right in your house. Oh, we thank you for the quickening power that has quickened us to come. Oh, to your presence, Lord, to begin the week. Oh, right from your house, Lord. Father, we thank you for the sunshine, the breeze of life that is blowing. Oh, glory be to your name, Lord. Father, as we begin with our Sunday schools, Lord, the children upstairs and we, the adults here, Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit, the author of the word, O God, to come, take the word and make it a living bread, Lord, unto us, preparing us, oh, for the day, O Lord, your word that to come unto us, Lord. So bless our Sunday school this moment. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you, musicians. Yes, we are thankful to the Lord. We are back to his house. Amen. We will try to conclude this teaching on, we have a question on hand. Was John the Baptist the same messenger of Malachi 3 and that of Malachi 4? That is the part where is to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And as we all know, he said every Bible question must have a Bible answer. So we have been what? Gleaning through the Bible to get the correct answer to this. Amen. So as we are standing, we shall read our scripture once again, Malachi 3, 1, and then Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Malachi 3, 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Then Malachi 4. We read the 5th and the 6th verses. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. 6. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Lord, we thank you for your word. As we sit, Lord, at your feet, oh, we ask the Holy Spirit now to overshadow us, Lord, and give us, Lord Jesus, unveil to us this mystery. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we be seated? God richly bless you. Yes, these two prophecies that we have read just now from the prophet Malachi. And we could see that the Bible itself says no prophecy, you see, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, you see. He said, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so this prophecy, it's not from Malachi, it's from God's own mouth, through his prophet Malachi. Amen. So now, for God to fulfill this prophecy, as we heard from the beginning, he sent his angel Gabriel to go to the priest Zechariah and to tell him, if you want to read that one, it's in Luke 1, 13 to 17. To tell Zechariah that, Luke 1, 13 to 17, that your prayer has been heard and your wife Elizabeth is going to what, have a child. And you name him John. See. And then when you come down, the commission that was given, God sent, God spoke through Malachi on this prophecy. We are looking at Malachi 4 now. God sent, spoke through his own prophet Malachi. And so it's his own word. Now he's going to fulfill it. He sent his angel Gabriel to come to Zechariah, the priest, that your wife is going to have a child and you call him John. And this is his commission. This is what he's going to do. That's verse 17. of Luke 1. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Amen. That's the commission God gave to his angel Gabriel to go and give it to what? Zachariah. That's your son, John. This is what he's going to fulfill. Amen. And now, you could see that God has chosen one part of the prophecy. Praise the Lord. There are two things. The prophecy carried two things. The first one is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's one. And then he said the hearts of the children to the fathers. But when God was giving this commission, he just called only one. Amen. Remaining the other. That's for John the Baptist. And truly, great John the Baptist dutifully fulfilled his commission. He fulfilled that commission. Amen. As we have already heard. And he was able to what? Introduce Christ to the fathers of the law. That now this is the gospel. Praise the Lord. Turning the hearts of the fathers to the gospel of the children, what the children have now brought by the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Because John himself was what? But already had the Holy Ghost from the mother's womb. Amen. So he truly fulfilled his part of that commission that has been given to him. Amen. And so when he said in Matthew 3:11, you see, introducing even Christ, and then look at what he said. Matthew 3:1. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, he is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see, introducing Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the people. See, fulfilling his word, his commission, turning the hearts of the old fathers of the law now to grace. Praise the Lord. And so, we heard also how Jesus came to the Jordan to be baptized of John. Amen. And when Jesus started his ministry, people were following him more. Now everyone was turning to Jesus Christ. Because one thing is that two prophets cannot stay on the scene at the same time. Two major prophets. See. And so when the disciples drew his attention, that's John the Baptist. Rabbi, the man you baptized over there in Jordan, now every man is following him. Then he told the disciples, his own disciple, John the Baptist. That's Matthew 11:30. He said, he must increase, but I must what? Decrease. See, he was fading away from the sinner. Amen. So John himself knew that his commission had been fulfilled and was what? He had to get out from the scene now. And eventually, you know what happened, how he was imprisoned and executed. Amen. So now where this controversy of people, our own brethren, you see, we continue to pray for them. This is where the controversy is Matthew 17. Let's not turn to that place. Matthew 17, reading from verse 11. This is where the contention is. You see, Jesus, there you read that Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to a high mountain. And there he was transfigured. And in that transfiguration, these three disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. And so they thought it was needful even to build three different kinds of what, tabernacles. One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus. But as we read that place, you see that a voice came out from the clouds and spoke to them. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Amen. Then the disciples were a little bit, they couldn't understand. So they asked Jesus, why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? You see, you know, these disciples asked this question because when the Jews sent the Levites and the priests to go and ask John the Baptist, who is you, or who thou art? Are you Elias? He said, I'm not. You see, he didn't actually put himself there, but he was. Are you the Elias? He said, I am not. You see, are you one of that prophet? He said, no. But who are you? He said, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. Amen. He just quoted that of Isaiah and left what? That of Malachi. You see, right. So that's why the disciples were asking Jesus. Because already John had denied that he wasn't that Elias. And the scripture also tells us that until Jesus will come, the real Messiah will come, there will be that Elias that should come and introduce him. So the disciples were still thinking that, well, that Elias even has not yet come. And now a voice is telling that we should hear you straight away. You see, then who was to introduce us to this? You see what the whole thing is? Good. So Jesus, verse 11, that's where this we are coming up. Matthew 17, verse 11. Now watch closely. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Amen. To restore means to bring back something that has been what? Broken or destroyed to its previous or original condition. You see, that's restoration. But you could see that just like Elijah, the first Elijah, when the altar was broken, something was there and it was broken. And he came and restored that altar once again for the fire of God to what? To come and consume the sacrifice. Amen. So that's what we call restoration. Something that has been in place for which but had what broken down or destroyed, that needs to be restored. But when John came, there wasn't anything that has been in place that has been destroyed. But he was rather introducing the people to a new altar.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. He came to introduce a new altar, that this is now the altar of God. See, the gospel, Jesus Christ. You see, so Jesus said, Elias truly must come first and restore all things. Then, verse 12, but I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they what listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And so with this, the belief is that all this meant John the Baptist. But watch. Let's watch something here. Brethren, listen closely. When Jesus was saying, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things, then he said again that Elias has come. You see? Jesus was talking, listen closely here. Jesus was talking about two separate events. And it was the same two separate events he gave the prophecy to Malachi. You see? Elias must first come to restore all things. And then he said, that Elias has come. Two things. He was what? Referring to the prophecy of Isaiah, Malachi 4. Just like that, I will send you Elijah who will turn the hearts of the people to the children, the fathers to the children, and then the children to the fathers. Two events. Praise the Lord. Do you understand it? Jesus said, Elias truly shall first come to restore all things. That's one. And then he said again, that Elias has come. He was talking about John the Baptist now. But the one to restore is not yet. So when it was just referring exactly to what? Malachi's prophecy. Two events. One to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then the other one to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. The same two separate events. Amen. See. So John the Baptist had finished his course and has exited the scene, and a new dispensation has started. Jesus established his church. John was no more. He has done his commission. Jesus established his church with his disciples, whom he had commissioned as apostles. And we all know, since the time of the apostolic fathers, the church traveled through seven church ages. And we all know through the seven church ages, the church went into almost total darkness. The gospel altar was about totally broken down. It was no more functioning as it was in the apostolic fathers' days. You see. So I will just quote something from the prophet here. He said, there was an invasion of error until there was a complete blackout of truth in the last days when the Lord is about to appear. The Lord is about to appear, and there was what? An error, a complete blackout of the truth. Now the prophet said, the question now arises in our minds. Does God forsake his own and let them fall into a state of complete deception? He won't do that. Because this is a very important event. And as we heard already, God always sends what? A forerunning before any event. You see. So if there is coming a great and dreadful day of the Lord, wouldn't he send someone? Was John the Baptist ministry is the one that is going to do that work? No. Amen. Amen. So that's what God, God in the first, the first world, when he was about to destroy the first world, he did what? He sent a forerunner. Amen. Noah. Preaching for 120 years to try to what? To turn the people away from their, for them to turn from their evil ways and go back to God, you see. And only eight were saved, you see. So if another destruction is coming, this very second world that we are in, the Bible says it has been kept in store, reserved unto fire. And then God will not send anyone to warn us. No. He would definitely do it. Amen. So, as the prophet said, God's sovereignty demands of him to work in every case like he did in the first case, or he was wrong when he worked in the first case. He did it for Noah's time. In our time, he won't do it. The same evil of Noah's day is in our days now. Amen. And God is a sovereign God. That's what the prophet is saying. He will surely, what he did in the past, he will do in the present tense also. And even our own situation is more than Noah's day. Because we have Lot's day also, days of Sodom. See? So, for us, the children now, today, we have become the children of the gospel. We are the children today of the gospel. And we are looking at the apostolic fathers now as our, the apostolic fathers of the gospel. For the gospel, they are the fathers now. And we are the children. So someone has to come because of the invasion of error that has completely blacked out truth. There must come a foreigner. Someone to take our hearts back to the apostolic fathers' teachings. Amen. So here now comes the prophecy of Joel. See, here comes now the prophecy of Joel. Joel 2, 25 and 20 says, I will restore, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworms and the caterpillars and the palmer worms. My great army that I will send amongst you. See. And he said, ye shall eat in plenty. Aren't we eating in plenty? Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. You shall eat in plenty. Oh, not there's natural food anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You see, when we come here, we hear the word, we really get satisfied. Amen. Amen. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who had dealt wondrously with you. Once we were blind, once we were lost, my brother, my sister. He has done wondrously. We come here, we go to praise him, worship him, and thank him for all that. See, that's amazing grace, brother. And he said, and my people shall never be ashamed. You see. So that brings in now that Malachi. Who is to come and turn the hearts of we, the children, now to the apostolic fathers? You see, the second part of the prophecy. You see, so truly, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Amen. And that's the time we are in. Praise the Lord. And so now, in conclusion. My brother, in this end time, we have had many great international preachers and evangelists. Amen. We've had people like T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Reinhard Bonnke, and Billy Graham, and many others. You see, they have all done great works in the field of the gospel in this world. They've really done real great works, you see. There's no doubt about that. But the Bible says the works that we do, they bear witness of us, you see. Now, amongst all this, now let's add William Branham, William Marion Branham. Amongst all these international preachers. Brethren, tell me. Whose work, the work that bear witness of you. If we are looking for a message that is turning the hearts of the people back to the apostolic fathers, which of them? Amen. Which of them? Amen. Because they did great work, yet They were baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They did great work, but they were what? Ordaining women to preach. A lot of things. But now, someone had come on the scene to take us back to what? The real apostolic word teachings. Is it not fulfilling the very word, second portion of Malachi? I will send you an Elijah, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back unto what? Unto the fathers. Brethren, yes, we have gone through the Bible to get all these things. Amen. And as the prophet said, he said, the Urim Tumim today is the Bible. The Bible itself is Urim Tumim today. You know that? You know Urim Tumim? The stone that was on Moses' breastplate. If a man prophesy and the Turim start to light, that means there's truth in it. Amen. But if it doesn't, let me read from the prophet. He said, if somebody has given a prophecy or a dream or a teaching and it don't compare or echo with God, God's Bible is false. Don't believe it. Amen. Because if you compare what they are talking about, that John the Baptist is the same Malachi for today, it doesn't work. The Urim Tumim will never what? Light up. That's why the prophet said, now is the Bible. That's our Urim Tumim. Anything that anyone teaches, if it doesn't echo with the Bible, the prophet said, it's false. Don't believe it. And so the wave that is blowing, carrying people away, we have what? Try to what? Find, arm ourselves against those waves. We've built our what? Defenses. When they come, they will splash and go back. Amen. So we thank the Lord that he has, the teaching has come to a close. If there is any question, you can put, and then we can look at it. Amen. God richly bless you. Shall we stand as we prepare ourselves for the main service? We start with our worship. As you said, as we've heard, he has done wondrously with us. Amen. Amen. So we will do what? We will praise our God and worship him and be thankful unto him for what he has done for us. Amen. Shall we bow down our heads? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Once again, Lord, we say glory be to thy name, Lord, for giving us a beautiful day like this, Lord, to be gathered at your feet, Lord. Father, we've come with all humility. We've come with all reverence, Lord. Obedience, Lord, unto you, O God. The Lord Jesus, this morning, you have your own way with us. Even through our worship and songs and praises, as we lift up your name, O Lord, because there is no other name to lift. There's no other name to worship than the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that, O God, you lead your children, the musicians, and the song leader, O God, to bring us to that place where, O God, to prepare our hearts for the word that you have for us, O Lord, for the day. And as, Lord, we commit your servant into your hands, as he's still waiting on you, Lord. Bless him, O God. Overshadow him, Lord Jesus. And use him as your mouthpiece, Lord, knowing the needs, our spiritual needs, Lord. Father, heal us, Lord. As even we had in the prayer meeting, Lord, your word is a healing. Heal us, Lord Jesus, of all things that, Lord, we lack. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you.